Thank you for taking a ride on the Freedom Train, your community resource podcast series. I am one of your conductors, Joseph Ward. My other man is Mr. Jamie Bashan. The Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with a trace of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org to learn more about PAX Inc. And when you go to the website, make sure you click on the tab that says The Codes so you can learn more about the Black Codes of Social Engineering that PAX Inc. created to help the black community work more harmoniously and love each other more. While you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com, where you know you can listen to the playbacks of your favorite shows and learn more about our wonderful guests that we have on our show. You can also follow us on Twitter at Freedom Train Net and follow us on Instagram at Freedom Train Network. And last but not least, you can subscribe to the Freedom Train either via iTunes or the Google Play Store. You can get the episodes coming right to your phone. Jamie, what's going on, man?
What's bracket, man? How's everything going with you?
I'm good. Ready, excited about this interview, man. What about you?
I think it's going to be a good one, man. A lot of crazy stuff happening. Now we get a good interview going, so let's do it.
You know, get away from the rigmarole of the world and learn something. So, today's show, once again, shout out to Mr. Keith Turner, who has been a great friend and great help to the show, for connecting us with Mr. Wayne B. Chandler, who's an internationally known author, teacher, inspirational speaker, and a practitioner and healer. And he has done a lot. And I know one of the things that I'm interested in is the Qigong that he's started mastering and things that he started practicing. So without further ado, our audience, everybody, get on your feet, put your hands together for Mr. Wayne B. Chandler. Yes, sir. How you doing today, Mr. Chandler?
I'm doing well, my brother. I'm doing very well.
Yes, sir. Once again, thank you for being on the show with us. And without further ado, hey, Jamie, let's get into these questions and learn a little more about Mr. Chandler.
All right, Mr. Chandler. So you're the author of a book called Ancient Future, The Teachings and Prophetic Wisdom of Seven Hermetic Laws of Ancient Egypt. Can you tell us more about your book and why you chose that particular title and why did you write the book?
The book kind of evolved out of previous works that I was doing, because I worked with a brother by the name of Ivan Van Sertima for about 10 years and wrote for him. He was a brother out of Rutgers University, and in many ways became a historical legend in his own time, just because of what he accomplished and the doors that he opened to dealing with the African presence, you know, in ancient America, and was able to really highlight the historical fact that blacks were in America before Christopher Columbus, and that these blacks had amazing, incredible civilizations that boggled, the mind, and that there was this great migratory pattern that had taken place from Africa into what was then the New World to set up and lay the foundation for these various civilizations, you know, to be built and then to thrive, you know, for, you know, two millennia. So I had the opportunity, you know, to write, you know, for this brother. I wrote for him for 10 years, and it was a group of us. The hub of that group was myself, a brother by the name of Renoko Rashidi, another brother by the name of Dr. Charles Finch. We had brother Rafik Jairazboy, and a few others, you know, who just really would come in periodically. But Renoco and myself and Charles were probably the most consistent writers, you know, for this particular book that we did once a year that was published and called the, it was published by Rutgers University, and it was called the Journal of African Civilizations. So one of the pieces that I had done in the journal was the was an introduction to what would later become Ancient Future. And so when I submitted it, it was so long that Ivan looked at it. He said, "Man, this is so long. You need to just take this back and turn it into a book and write a book." And that's what I did. You know, I took it back. He published the introduction in a book that we did called Egypt, Child of Africa. And I just went on. It took me, I had already collected, you know, an immense amount of information, and I had been collecting information over years that I was able to just really hone and move into the text, which would later become Ancient Future. I titled it Ancient Future because so much of what we do, you know, there's a saying that says, "The farther back you look, the further forward you'll be able to see." And it deals with the cycles, you know, because living in this particular culture, which is very linear, we developed a tendency to just look at reality in a linear context, in a straight line. But reality really is cyclical, you know, and that's right. Why we have these sayings, you know, what comes before will come again, you know, and what goes around comes around, and right. Other types of sayings, you know, which speaks to the reality, you know, that we live in this cyclical time frame that repeats, where you see a repetitive cycle of history and events that take place in history. So I was able to just kind of lock in to that idea, that particular concept, and look at Ancient Future, that a lot of what has transpired in the past has also taken place in times, you know, that we're about to go into, or times that we have just recently stepped out of, and that you have this cyclical pattern that is always going and evolving itself, you know, from one particular cycle or epoch into another. And that's how I developed the title of Ancient Future.
Okay. Well, I think you hit something right on the head, because I've started to notice certain things. I'm an up and coming historian myself, and like you said, you notice patterns, you notice cycles, you notice repeating things, especially when you're talking about our dealings with whites or Europeans or Caucasians or outside people. You start to notice things. So I, on my end, I'm starting to see why certain things worked and why certain information was kept from us, because we will have that ability to see where we went wrong and be able to try to correct things or be able to see patterns in other people. But I think that's why it's so powerful, why what you and Dr. Vince Irma and Renoco Rashidi and the other gentlemen were doing, because you guys actually laid the foundation for people like us, because we're standing on you guys' shoulders, and we appreciate what you have, the work that you've done, the information that you've collected, all the things that you've done, because we actually have a chance to learn this information, and we don't have to go through all the hoops and things that you gentlemen had to go through to get this information. So we definitely appreciate everything that you've done, and now we have the information right at our hands, and it's now it's time for us to take it and use it. So
Yeah, and that's, you know, probably one of the largest challenges that you know, confronts us today, you know, is taking this information and really finding ways to implement it, because it's so multifaceted. You know, it's not just so much about the fact that, you know, black people were here and there and did this and that and built and constructed, you know, this particular civilization or that one, but it was, what was the content, you know, what was the moral, the spiritual, emotional fabric that really allowed these beings to express a level of consciousness that allowed these types of cultures and civilizations, you know, to evolve and to last for thousands of years, you know, because you have to have a very powerful template in place in order to see that level of longevity to take place in a civilization that will last, you know, for thousands of years. So what we have to do, you know, because a lot of what this culture does in terms of distraction, it keeps us really looking on the outside and locked into more of a mundane appreciation, you know, that is all about the five senses, whereas, you know, our ancestral tradition wasn't about that at all. You know, it was about the refinement and the cultivation of our internal power, which allowed us to manipulate and manifest in the three-dimensional realms much more easily. And this is the piece that we have forgotten, that we've lost.
Yeah, that's, you know, we're elated because those are things that we talk about all the time on this show and just in regular discussion. So we're definitely happy that, especially when we start reading more information about you and learning about you, definitely got excited because we knew we were in to learn some real powerful things today. So, our next question is, you've also authored a book titled The Brighter Side of Darkness, A Light Warrior's Guide to Inner Alchemy and Spiritual Transformation. What led you to write that particular book, and how does the book help the people who read it?
That particular book is basically a part two to Ancient Future, and Ancient Future lays a certain historical foundation that gives people a historical overview of what has transpired so that they can get a more of a sobering place in terms of consciousness and awareness of where they are and how they got to where they are today. Whereas in The Brighter Side of Darkness, you know, I just basically up the game and take all of the principles to a totally different level, you know, of how they're expressed and utilized, you know, in our daily realities. So, for example, the principle of vibration. The principle of vibration in The Brighter Side of Darkness deals with, you know, how organs in the body correspond to different emotional frequencies. And so there's a certain vibratory exchange that takes place. And when you are saturated and inundated, you know, with negative vibrational fields, it directly impacts the specific organ that those emotions correspond or correlate to. And once that begins to happen, the vibrational frequency, which we translate into a health-based frequency, begins to diminish. So, like, say, an individual, you know, who is angry. Now, anger corresponds to the liver. So a person who is experiencing a lot of anger is going to begin to have serious liver problems. Now, the problem with that is that the liver is the basic chemical laboratory for the entire human body. In men, it has, you know, 500 basic functions. You know, 500 basic functions. That's not multiplying all those functions together, you know, which will give you thousands. In women, it has 900 basic functions. So once the liver falls into a place of disrepair, the whole body begins to break down. Sadness, grief, you know, corresponds to the lungs. That's why a lot of times when people are feeling, you know, grief and sadness, they feel it in their chest. Their chest gets heavy, you know, whereas on the flip side of that, you know, strength, you know, is just the opposite. That's the positive attribute, you know, for the energy that corresponds to the lungs. And that's why you, when you look at, like, superheroes, you know, they have very well-developed chests, all of them, because, you know, it's transferring, you know, an image that power resides there, you know, immeasurable strength resides there, you know, fortitude resides there. You know, so all of the organs in the body correspond to emotional frequencies. And when these emotional frequencies are negative and toxic, then it automatically, you know, lessens the health vibrational rate of the organs and the glands in our system. You know, so looking at that, I look at, you know, like gender, you know, the principle of gender. I go much deeper into relationships, into masculine, feminine energy, and what that looks like when it comes into the mix with respect to relationship, you know, and, you know, exactly, you know, what is a superior man? You know, what denotes a superior man? You know, what denotes a superior woman? And what does relationship look like when you have two beings that are truly involved in self-cultivation and developing a higher level, you know, of personal power? What does that look like when they come into the mix of relationship? You know, so in the brighter side of darkness, I just go much deeper or higher, if you will, into exploring, you know, the principles. You know, I take everything to, you know, a much higher level.
Okay. Yeah, that's right at home for me. My mom was the first person to introduce me to, like, the seven universal principles, like the Hermetic principles, and that's what led me on my journey to seeking more information and learning more. So when you were talking about that, I'm just going crazy over there because I'm just thinking about how my mom introduced me to this information that has opened up this whole new world for me. So that's I love it. But Mr. Chandler, our other host, Patrick Irvin, has joined the line, so I want to introduce you. Pat, say what's up, Mr. Chandler.
How you doing, good sir?
I'm doing well, my brother. How are you?
I'm doing great. I came in midway through. And y'all was on a way, way, way higher level than I thought we was going to be on.
Yeah, put your wings on. Good. Put your wings on.
So, all right. When you, at the end of that question, you kind of led us into our next question, which is around the spiritual realm of things. So you wrote two books about spiritual growth and transformation. What should we be learning about our spirits of the spirit world, and why is the spiritual transformation so important? And the reason why this question is probably going to mean a lot to, you know, all of us here is because we talk about religion and the spiritual realm quite often on our show. So if you could, you know, kind of, you know, give us that parallel, why it's so important and what we should be doing as a community and as individuals.
Yeah, because everything evolves out of that. Everything is a projection, you know, of that level of consciousness. Everything evolves and has, you know, developed out of a spiritual, you know, format. And so, therefore, if everything, you know, has pretty much evolved out of spirit, then it's only a necessity that you stay and be in contact with that power, because that means that you, like everything else, you know, have evolved out of that same, you know, experience, you know, or that same environment. And therefore, you never want to lose sight of that, because that is your power source. You know, that's right. your source of, you know, self-empowerment, personal power, the ability to manifest and attract to you the various things that you want to have in your life. It gives you the power to take three-dimensional form and matter and manipulate it and shape it, you know, to the extent and degree that you need it to work for you, as opposed to you being a slave to it. And so the whole idea, you know, of connecting to a spiritual reality is connecting to a much higher vibrational frequency. So when you look at the human body, you know, by design, we're fourth dimensional entities. Now, what does that mean? We have different systems that operate in our body, which really are very dormant, you know. So we have chakras, we have meridians or nadis, mm-hmm. we have different types of, you know, attributes that really lend themselves to giving us abilities that if we were ever to flip that correct switch to turn those abilities on, people would look at us as if we were demigods. So mm-hmm. when you go into self-cultivation, literally what you're doing is you're increasing your vibrational frequency, you know, and the more rapidly you vibrate, the higher you vibrate, then the closer you get to what would be considered the spiritual domain, you know. So you want to be able to lock in to that specific reality, because once you tap it, then everything else around you in the three-dimensional realm, you know, I mean, it becomes just like child's play, you know, in order to, like, create out of it what it is that you need. And so here in this particular culture, the be-all, end-all formula that's implemented on a daily basis is to make sure that we don't access that aspect of ourselves. So everything right. that we live from day to day is about keeping us disconnected, detached, and separate, isolated from our spiritual power. So the way the calendar is set up, for example, the calendar is set up in a way that makes sure that we don't tap in and become familiar with those aspects of our fourth dimensional self. Mm-hmm. And the more distracted we are, then, you know, the more we're going to live outside of our fourth dimensional reality, you know. So we never get to know the chakra systems in the body. We never get to know, you know, the flow and the movement of energy or chi, you know, through the meridian systems or prana through the nadis, you know. So these are things that, you know, people pretty much, you know, look at as being, you know, new age fluff, and so therefore, right. you know, it's outside the gateway or the realm of what's really real and practical. So therefore, it's not something that's really sought after. So that which is spiritual, you know, really doesn't carry a lot of weight. And when you put it into a religious context, you know, then it becomes even more dense and more ineffective, and people become even more distracted from what their original power, you know, truly is. And it takes them even further away from their ability to manage, master, and coordinate and orchestrate, you know, their daily realities, you know. So the whole idea of locking into spirit, you know, is through very specific practices and meditations, you know, mm-hmm. because in Qigong, you can develop an amazing amount of internal power, but that's just the development and the cultivation of internal power. It's the Nigong that allows that power to be expressed and projected into three-dimensional realms of reality where you now have control over those three-dimensional realms or those three-dimensional constructs that occupy those realms. You know, okay. So Qigong is the masculine expression of the cultivation of internal power, where Nigong is the feminine expression of taking that masculine power and teaching one how to project it out into the daily reality so that it becomes a practical tool for shaping their realities.
Okay. Yeah, because I know Qigong, you know, that's one of the questions that we want to get more into, and you've already led into it. So, but I don't want to jump ahead of everybody and asking questions. But that is something that I want to get back to asking you about, because I know I first heard about it maybe 5 years ago, either watching TV or YouTube, and I've read a little more about it, but that is something that I'm interested in. But I ain't going to step in front of you, Pat, so go ahead.
That's right. Back up. So you just now, I'm going to go off the beaten path a little bit, because you just said a whole lot. And I know when we get in these conversations with guests, which I don't think we've ever had a guest go quite as deep as you're going, we do get a lot of feedback from people. Well, I know I get a lot of feedback from people that listen that talk about the fluff and how, you know, they don't feel like they're getting a lot of facts or things they could use. So I want to give you a chance to prove those people wrong in a sense and show them that there are tangible things. So you mentioned how the calendar keeps us disconnected. Could you elaborate on that a little bit for people that might not be familiar with what you're talking about?
Yeah, sure. We're fourth dimensional beings by nature. And when you look at the calendar historically, and you go back, you know, several millennia, the calendar had 13 months uh-huh. and 28 days for each month.
Uh-huh.
That was a global calendar that was used. That calendar today is extinct. It's only used in still in one place in the world, and that's in Ethiopia. Now, the 13-month, 28-day calendar, its purpose and design was to make sure that it kept humanity locked within its fourth dimensional construct. You know, because we are, you know, because it was a lunar calendar, and that was one of the things, you know, that we have, like, stepped away from, we've stepped outside of, you know. And so when you look at the fact that we're fourth-dimensional beings by nature, and this is seen, as I said, with dealing with the chakras and the various energetic channels which distribute life force or chi, you know, throughout our bodies, you know, when you're locked into your fourth-dimensional self, you are integrated profoundly and deeply with the natural world. So you're in flow with the whole biospheric reality of the planet. And anything that happens or is getting ready to happen on the planet, you immediately, because of your synchronization and integration with the planet, you know what this is and how it's going to impact you. But once you have been removed from your fourth dimensional construct, your fourth dimensional self, and those abilities that you automatically carried, you know, that were intuitive, that were psychic, you know, that were transcendental, because those have been shut off, it completely disconnects you from your deep, natural inner knowing of what is going on in the world around you as well as yourself. So when you look at the calendar, it was 13 months with 28 perfect days, which means that the way it was designed was, say, on May 4th, it would be the same, it would carry the same pattern, you know, as June 4th and then July 4th. So it would fall on the same day every single month. And so what happens is that you no longer have to stop and contemplate, think about time, because time is a construct that keeps you locked in to a level of cerebral, left brain, linear awareness that keeps you trapped, you know, in this cultural construct that has been designed for us. So, for example, you look at the months. Everything is now out of sync. So the calendar that we have now is a 12-month calendar, and the days are 31, 30, 28, 29. You know, it's designed in a way that takes our fourth dimensional construct out of balance, out of integration with the natural world, to put it more easily, you know, so as in a more comprehensible manner and form. It takes us out of that. Now, people that have, scientists that have examined time and how time impacts the body, if I can remember this one quote, the scientist said, just as atmosphere is the sustenance of the body, time is the sustenance of the mind. If the time that you live in is made up of uneven months and days, overseen by a mechanized reality of minutes, seconds, and hours, then this is what becomes of the mind, a mechanized, imbalanced reality. And if your mind becomes a mechanized, imbalanced reality, then what you project out into the world becomes also imbalanced. And so when you look at that and you see like how that operates, you begin to see the various constructs throughout the year that keep us completely and totally imbalanced. You know, so you look at, for example, September. You know, September, you know, is coming from 7, but yet, you know, it's the ninth. It's the ninth month. And then you look at October, Ak, which is 8. You know, but it's the 10th month.
Mm.
You look at November, Nov, which is 9, you know, is the 11th month. You look at December, which comes from the word dec, you know,
right,
which is really 10, but it's the 12th month. So what you have is a system that has been put in place that keeps you decentralized and imbalanced, but you're not able to be aware of the imbalance that you exist in on a daily basis because you have another program that has been substituted, you know, for a more organic program that is really a part of your being. And so now you have stepped into the reality of a more technospheric, artificial program that you operate on and operate by. And the more and the deeper you go into the operations of this artificial construct, the more it removes you from the natural realm and the divine realm and the spiritual realm of our ever-present reality. So every single day, living by the calendar that has been devised for us, you know, to live through and out of, we become more and more disconnected from the natural world and our divine nature. And therefore, we become more technologically oriented, more mechanical, you know, less human.
That's true. They mechanizing everything. But I think one of the important things that they have done was keep this mechanized, keep this reality that we have here, or what we think is reality, keeping this what we have here in front of our face, and keep feeding us the same programming over and over and over and over again, especially us. So keeping us locked down, we will never get to the point to where we in mass try to connect back to nature and try to reorganize things. I think that's one of the I know me and Pat have had this conversation. That spiritual aspect has to be there, especially when we want to change our situation. Once we're talking about oppression and all these things that we get from the white supremacy, but that spiritual aspect has to be there, and it's a reason why it's the reason why we continuously look outside of ourselves as far as for spiritual sustenance, when looking in and all the information should be towards us looking in, and like you've been saying, developing ourselves as spiritual beings. Because once we do that, we were able to be, we'll be more than capable of changing our situation and making the world better, getting the world back in alignment. So,
you know, it's our greatest challenge, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about that. I mean, but understanding and developing an understanding, you know, of that, you know, you have to like really get into, exactly, you know, what does it mean, and what's the process, you know, what is
right,
the process that allows one to go that deep, you know, and, you know, how do you identify what it is that you really need out here in the world when there's so many charlatans, you know, and false prophets that are operating, you know, in our reality, you know. So it becomes very difficult, and it's work, you know. It's easy to die in this particular culture that we are a part of. You know, dying is easy because it's a death-based culture. So everything, you know, that we connect to, everything that we do, you know, is pretty much death-based. You know, we function out of the left hemisphere of the brain, and that's a very mundane construct. So when you look at the left hemisphere, which is the masculine brain, the left hemisphere is the masculine mind. It's time bound. That's the first thing. It's time bound, which means that there's an expiration date on everything. The whole idea of perpetual life or longevity is a pipe dream, you know. So it only can see death. That's all it can see. You know, it processes information bit by bit. You know, it's sequential, A to B, B to C, which means it's linear. You know, it has a linear outlook and format in terms of how it perceives reality. It compartmentalizes everything. So it splits the world into, like, different bits and pieces. You know, it focuses on information. It's deductive in that, you know, it draws a specific conclusion from broad premises, but all the information necessary for the conclusion is contained in the premise, which means it operates off of the scientific method, which means that when you look at what the scientific method is, it evolves and operates out of the intellectual mind, and that's the extent of it. It can't go any further than that. You know, it has to stay within the analytical process, the scientific process. To go beyond that process, it's lost. Now, when you look at the right hemisphere of the brain, which is the feminine mind, the right hemisphere is timeless as opposed to being time-bound, which means that it only sees infinity. It only recognizes longevity. It only feeds into your immortality. It deals with information, and the way it deals with information is that it processes information all at once instead of bit by bit. It looks at the whole instead of compartmentalizing, you know, like our realities, segmenting our realities, you know. So it sees the whole, and then it takes the world and connects the world into a connected whole. So it's holistic. It only sees holism. It looks for relationships. So it's always establishing connection into everything. And it focuses on the emotional fields which operate in and around us, which are very powerful. Like, people will talk about the pineal gland.
Right.
And they'll talk about activating the pineal gland. The pineal gland, this, that. You know, I know people have got herbal formulas and this and that. This is the thing about the pineal. Around the pineal lies a body called the limbic center or the limbic brain. The purpose of the limbic center or the limbic brain is to absorb and then decode all emotional fields. Now, because we live in such a toxic emotional environment, every negative toxic emotional field that we absorb into our being is transferred into the pineal body via the limbic center, which means the pineal gland is on lockdown all of the time. And the only way you can get it to become activated is to begin to balance the emotional fields in your being.
Okay.
So you look at the right hemisphere as the left hemisphere is deductive, the right hemisphere is inductive, which means it draws a general conclusion from broad premises going beyond the information that is given, which means it's psychic, it's intuitive, it's transcendental. It's clairvoyant. Now,
wow.
When you look at the culture and how the culture is designed, the culture is designed because you have these two realities that live in your body. These two realities operate in your one being. But yet the culture makes sure that you're invested in the left, which is all about the mundane and limitation, and not in the right, which is about your immortality and longevity. So
definitely,
the right hemisphere is the doorway to the divine. And we're kept from that.
Right. Definitely agree with you on that. They definitely keep us in the mundane, and that spiritual development is, they've even taught us to fear it. They from the all the entertainment that they've given us, from the urban legends and myths and everything, definitely have spooked us away from developing ourselves spiritually like we're supposed to even begin to conceptualize that everything that you are saying is true, and we can harness these abilities. So,
Jamie. It's not to demonize the left, because we operate in the 3D, you know, or we operate on the mundane. You know, we should be able to move in and out of any and every environment that we want to. So we want to make sure that we have tools that allow us to do that. You know, so it's not about demonizing the left or the masculine mind, but it is about synchronization. It is about being able to utilize and optimize both aspects, you know, both hemispheres of the brain. You know, so, for example, so much of our reality that is dictated through the subconscious mind. People have ongoing programs that run over and over again repetitiously. And these programs keep them in the way of themselves. But unless you have developed a way of getting into the subconscious mind to begin to confront and deal and then repattern to change these ongoing programs that are running, you continue to live the same way day in and day out, making the same mistakes and seeing reality in the same format that you've seen it all of your life.
The one comment I will have at it, I love everything you said, and it's completely deep. And if you truly try to, you know, study and understand what you said, it makes a lot of sense. But I can tell you right now, a lot of people will be pushed back by that, because once you start talking about the spiritual, this, that, and the other, it's a lot easier just to draw into some religion or religious aspect of it and just say, you know what, I'm not going to worry about this, that, and the other, versus transforming your spiritual aspect of it. A lot of people just see the spiritual as just religion-based or book-based. So what you said makes a ton of sense, but I can see how a lot of people will hear that and be like, nah, I'm going to just, you know, continue with some type of religious path versus me going out and experiencing some type of spiritual growth. So I was zoning out over here trying to, you know, soak in everything you were saying.
Well, you know, we're in a time right now, the world is changing, and it really doesn't matter what people believe or what they don't, because they're going to be pushed into a place where they're going to be forced to look at their realities in a different way. And I guarantee you, before this year is out, people are going to begin to look at the world in a totally different manner, you know. Because there are things that are, like, taking place globally, you know, that are going to make people shift in the terms of their perspectives, on reality, their perspectives on self, their perspectives on spirit, their perspectives on the divine and nature. They're going to, like, just be pushed into a corner where they're going to be forced to look at things in a very different manner and way. You know, because right. that's where we are. You know, I mean, we love to be distracted. We really do. We think that we don't, but we love distractions. We love to play. And right now, there are things going on in the world that are going to impact every human being in ways that are not going to feel good. And the first piece is going to be the financial piece, you know, because right now there are, like, different systems that are being set up and put in place which are going to set us in terms of our power as a global financial power, you know, in jeopardy. And when that bubble burst here, you know, think about it. The one thing people hate for you to mess with more than anything else is their money. You know?
Right. That's true.
And when that begins to take place, you're going to have people in the streets, and that's going to set off a whole domino effect of, you know, how this new order and new direction, you know, of global finance is going to manifest itself and impact, you know, us as individuals, as well as the entire country, you know, of the U.S. It's a new day, you know, and so you either embrace and begin to cultivate your inner knowing, because the only thing that keeps one really out of harm's way is being in synchronization with universal order and flow. That's the only thing, you know. So the more in sync and integrated you are with that universal flow, you know, then the more at ease and the more protected you're going to be as we move into challenging times. You know, so what we deal with usually on a daily basis is resistance. You know, when information is put upon us, we resist it. And the more resistance we put out there when truth is being put in front of us, then the harder the lesson will be, you know, when it comes time to learn that lesson. You know, that lesson and the depth of challenge and adversity, you know, that it's bringing to the table is all contingent on the amount of resistance that we have towards not wanting to learn that lesson.
I like that.
Okay.
Now, I definitely can agree with that, especially the resistance to truth part. But I have a question in regards to that. Two things, really. One, you know, I feel like one of the blockades, if you will, to people accepting is a failure to understand, in a lot of cases, what people are talking about. So with that, I wanted to know if you could, for people that are unaware or unfamiliar, explain what you mean by universal flow. And I also wanted your take on, nowadays it's become acceptable when we start talking about truth, for people to say, that's your truth, not mine, or there's this truth, there's that truth, as if they're multiple kinds of truths, and I'm not for or against it one way or another. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on that particular perspective or on that particular topic, where you could present something to someone with all the facts in the world to back it up and they could still dismiss it as not their truth.
Yeah, and it may not be their truth, you know. Again, when you start like talking about facts and figures, you know, I mean, you're still moving through an analytical process, you know, so you're still intellectualizing a certain body of information. The best way for people to get at what it is they are and discover their truths is to go inside. Everything that is within all the universes throughout, you know, this reality is encoded in your DNA, which means that there's nothing that is not known to you. It's just a matter of you accessing it, and the only way you can do that is to go in. You know, one of the things I like to say is, you know, you know, you, I mean, you have to go in, you know, and explore that terrain before you can really appreciate what's going on in your outer terrain. So it becomes the only way out is in. In other words, the only way you can master your outer environment is really to go in. That's the only thing that you can do. So the only way out is in. So when people don't want to know, when they don't want to learn, when they don't want to take the time to do specific practices that take them in, you know, there's not a whole lot you can do. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink.
Right.
You know, so, you know, people are going to believe what they need and want to believe because it keeps them in a certain comfort zone with respect to their daily realities. A lot of people do not want to know that we're getting ready to move into some very, very deep and very dark times. But I'm going to tell you something. Everybody knows it because they can feel it. They can feel that things are about to shift and change in ways that are going to make this reality very, very challenging. People don't understand that time is speeding up. Time is speeding up rapidly, you know.
Yeah.
Our time measurement has been based on what's called the Schumann resonance, which is a formula that's been used by the military for decades. And the Schumann resonance has been speeding up this, you know, because it measures time. It measures linear time. And in 1986, it was 12 cycles per second. It is now 18 cycles per second, going on 19 cycles per second, which means that there is half the amount of time in a 24-hour period than what we used to experience. And this is why if each and every one of you stops and thinks about time, you'll know that there are nowhere near the minutes in a day that we used to experience and have.
Yeah, I thought I was the only one really realizing that time was speeding up, because I think I noticed that first maybe three or four years ago, that just seemed like everything was moving faster and faster. And you are not the first person I've heard say that, but I've been able to notice that myself. You know, more and more I work to develop myself, the more and more I started noticing things. So I'm right there with you on that, because I have noticed that time has been speeding up. But,
No question. Time is definitely speeding up. And it's really not, it's not time per se. It's really the creative process that's speeding up.
Mm-hmm.
And because we have taken time and connected it to the creative process, it makes time move at a more accelerated rate. Because time is a trap. You know, I looked at a couple of movies the other day. One was Doctor Strange. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was an amazing movie because it's all about the manipulation of time and the mastering of the holographic reality that we are a part of. Because once you master the holographic reality, which is our three-dimensional realm, once you elevate, vibrate yourself in frequency, then you automatically have immediate mastery and control over the three-dimensional realm. And depending on the level of power that you have been able to cultivate will determine on how easy and how varied, you know, the shapes and directions you can create within the three-dimensional realm. So I was really impressed, you know, with what was displayed in that particular movie. And the other movie that I watched was called The Assassin's Creed, you know, which from a historical perspective was really deep because it was very much on point about the Hashemiya, you know, who were a special group of assassins born out of the family of Hashim, which was the family name of the Prophet Muhammad. And the Shi'i that we identify today were born out of that particular tradition, you know, of these assassins, you know, because Marco Polo, when he went into Arabia, you know, he couldn't pronounce the name, you know, of this group of people. And it became corrupted over a period of time. At first, you know, he thought it meant the hashish takers. He thought Hashemiya meant the takers of hash, you know. But, and then over a period of time, the corruption kept growing and kept getting misaligned until the word assassin was derived from the term that Marco Polo, you know, created, you know, for this group of people that he experienced, that he saw, you know. So, but they were a very refined and militarily cultivated and just, you know, they were like ninjas. No, these were some bad dudes. I mean, they were like, they were incredible, you know. So just seeing the historical element, you know, of that, you know, they were, you know, much lighter, you know, than the way they were in reality, in history, you know. But they were, you know, I dug the concept that they were able to, like, and the Knights Templar, that battle between the Knights Templar, because, you know, that was very historically accurate, you know. So I thought that was also very, very well done. But, you know, so much, you know everything. Everything is known to us. So you can't really give people truth based on books, based on words. The only way an individual is going to really experience their own specific truth, because we all have different paths, is to go inside. Right. You know, and, that, yes, and that's how we get that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So before we wrap this interview up, and once again, we appreciate you coming on our show and giving us this great information, because once again, It helps to help us to really be reassured that we're not just crazy people just running our mouths, but there's something more to what we've been living. There's something more than what we've been experiencing, and moving up to a higher realm spiritually is something that we're supposed to do. So we always ask all of our guests this same last question. So Jamie, you go ahead and take away this last question, and you got to do it right.
I got the last question.
Hold on. I got to set you up right.
Where my drums at, man?
Hold on. Here we go. There you go.
All right, we got to work on those drums. It's just not hitting like it's supposed to. All right, so the final question is, if you were the all-powerful ruler of Black America, I mean, you controlled all of Black America, what would be something you would change, and what would be your message to the people?
If I was the ruler, my message would be, before you can master what's out, you must first go in. And there would be programs that would deal with the expansion of consciousness. My program would be ancient future. It would be the farther back you look, the further forward you'd be able to see. So when you look at, and we take this for granted, but when you look at what our ancestors achieved, we can't even come close to achieving that. Believe me when I say there's nobody on this planet right now that can build a pyramid. Nobody.
Right.
The Nippon Corporation in the mid-80s attempted to build a pyramid on the Giza Desert. It was a disaster.
Mm.
And the Egyptian government ended up kicking them out of Egypt. There's nobody that can build those kind of structures. There's nobody who can build the kind of structures. The first two dynasties in China were black dynasties. The first dynasties in India, civilizations in India, up through the medieval periods of India, were black.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can build and create and recreate those structures. They don't even understand how they were designed and manifested in 3D form. So it all goes back to consciousness. It all goes back to living, existing, and operating in a transcendental format that allows you to see and live outside of the box. So we have to shed our boxes. So if I was, the grand poobah of blood, the first thing that I would do would be to get them to understand that the only way out is in.
Mm.
Within each aspiration dwells the certainty of its own fulfillment. To understand that, you begin to understand the internal network and matrix that operates nonstop within the core of your being.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I hope you all learned a lot from this interview. Mr. Chandler, we would definitely like to have you back in the future to go more into the historical aspect of your journey in your life, because you are a historical heavyweight, and you've helped lay lay a foundation for people like myself and Patrick and Jamie to come behind you. We definitely appreciate everything that you've done since the day you decided to make a difference, since the day you decided to take this path. Like I say, we just can't thank you enough and people like you enough who are able to open up doors for us. And it's our job to keep these doors open and make sure that we take the information and properly use it to uplift those behind us. But we don't want to keep you forever. on this line because we could talk forever. But
I appreciate you all reaching out. You know, this has been good.
And we appreciate it because, I mean, just the knowledge you shared in this brief period of time is, I mean, it's a lot. And I think people who listen to the show are going to take a lot away from it. And I think you gave a lot of starting steps to a lot of people who've been, you know, on the fence about certain things, especially the spiritual part of it. So you gave a lot of little jewels that they can take and hopefully motivate them to kind of research and kind of find their own path. So we appreciate you and everything you've given us to the day. I appreciate it.
Well, that's a door that swings both ways, my brothers, for sure.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we'll definitely, like I said, we'll definitely stay in contact with you so we can have you back on the show in the future.
Okay, looking forward, man. Keep living strong.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you later.
Okay. Peace.
All right. Mr. Wayne Chandler, everybody. He dropped some. He went deep on us.
He went deep on us.
I ain't gonna lie. I'll admit, I went ready this time. I usually be ready, but I wasn't ready. But hey, man, I just grabbed on and held on, and here we are.
Yeah, I had to take some notes. I'm gonna have to go back and because the spiritual part on, he really went into that more than I thought he would.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna have to go back and that was some heavy stuff. And I know I didn't catch it all, so I'm going to listen to the playback so I can go back and listen to it and try to get that information for myself. But he did a lot, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah. You know, that's right up my alley, though. Like, learning as much as I can about the spiritual realm, about manifesting myself and becoming a better spiritual being, becoming more connected with nature and things. And that's right up my alley, because that's what I'm doing now, so.
That scares the shit out of people, though. Like, I'm going to be honest. Like, I think when you start talking outside of the confines of religion and start talking about the spiritual, how you can attain that, people just see that as, like, hearsay. They're scared of it. They think they're going to – all they see is scary movies, so they think they're going to get a Ouija board and summon some evil shit up because that's what they – you know, that's kind of what society thinks. But I think – you know, having people like him kind of explain that and kind of go deep into it, it changed that perspective, and you realize, like, there's a lot to the spiritual realm.
Hey, all I know is the dude that's in the Bible that the red writing is about, he did all this stuff that he's talking about. He had to go in. He went in to find this, to develop himself spiritually. Like, any of these stories, any of these mythological stories about all these Christ-like saviors and all these people are, you know, people who've mastered themselves spiritually. That's all. That's what we came here to do, master ourselves spiritually. So, yeah. Hey, I mean, you're right. The people are going to be afraid of, but people are afraid of until it's time for that light to come on for them.
Absolutely. So,
yeah, man. Pat.
What up?
There it is, man. I just want to make sure you're still with us.
No, I'm still here. I mean, it was a good interview. He gave a lot of information. My beef a lot of the times with these interviews is that it's hard for people to grasp onto because of the jargon that's used, because of the terminology and the way things are spoken of. So it's almost like after you have a conversation that's as deep as that one, you got to go back and kind of decode the conversation for people that's not up on it. Otherwise, they just throw the entire conversation away. Yeah. So I was just sitting here thinking maybe we need to have a decode type show because a lot of the stuff he was saying was true in a lot of senses. But if you just look at it from a scientific standpoint or another standpoint, you know, then you'd be like, well, the science kind of disagrees with that. But if you look at it from another vantage point, it's like, well, the science does agree with that. So,
right.
You know, like when he was talking about time speeding up, there have been some reports that says that the Earth is actually starting to rotate slower, which would make time speed up in a sense. But those reports are one-sided. There are other reports that say something else. And then there are other people that say time only appears like it's speeding up as you're getting older because it's a smaller fractional percentage of your life than it was earlier. So for a two-year-old, a year is a long-ass time because they've only been through 2 years. But for a 60-year-old, a year goes by in the blink of an eye because they've been through 60 of them. So, you know, you have all of these things competing, and it's hard for people to grasp on to what's being said when you're at such a high level because they're not there yet. There are too many different competing things on a lower level that could steer people off, and that was the case with a lot of the points that were made. You know, like we talked about, you know, the dude, somebody else was saying that they didn't get their information from facts and books and things. They got their information from the spiritual realm.
Well, we were talking about that Aline Bay. Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, but contrasting that or comparing that to what he was saying about you have to go in order to get the truth. You know, like to a lot of people, that sounds like the exact same thing. And so now you got to kind of decode that, even in terms of meditation and whatnot. You know, I've spoken to a couple of monks and gurus and things of that nature, and they talk about the focus of meditation not being to go into yourself. The focus of meditation, for them at least, is to disperse themselves into the outside world so that they no longer exist separate from anything. You know, when they meditate to make themselves vanish into the natural world around them. So it's not about going in for them, it's about going out, and going out so far that you stretch yourself over everything to the point where you don't exist as an individual anymore. So you got a lot of these competing things going on as well.
Right. But that's interesting you say that, because when you say that to me, it sounds like, And this could just be me, but it sounds like they're saying that they're going in to go out, because I don't know, and maybe you know, I could be off or whatever, but I know from a lot of the information that I've gathered from just my time studying meditation and different things, like no matter what, you have to go in, but the ultimate goal is to connect with the universe, connect with nature, get to that state of oneness with everything. So and there are different forms and different methods and different ways too. So, you know, not to just put meditation in the box. You know, if we had more questions, one of the things I was going to ask, you know, I was going to kind of get him to break down meditation more if we had more time. Maybe the next time we get him on, we could do that. But I guess that's the first thing that popped in my head when you were saying that maybe it's different forms, or maybe we're saying the same thing, we're just saying it different ways.
Well, there are different approaches. We are definitely saying, I mean, the ultimate goal is to understand yourself and the world around you. But whereas one would say go in and work and repair yourself and whatnot, and then you'll better be able to accept and embrace the world around you. Another is saying ignore yourself and immerse yourself in the world around you, and through an understanding of the world around you, you will come to understand yourself. So there are just two approaches, but to the layperson, without that type of explanation, they just like, well, he say I should go out to go in, and he say I should go in to go out. So which the one, you know, like which one is it?
Right, but I guess that's where we come in though, like you and I and Jamie, because we understand fully what he's saying, but we also can communicate on a level to the layperson where they can get it. Because like if somebody listening to this, what we're saying, if you contrast and going in to going to go out and going out to go in, basically what we're saying is, it's like I got a Cadillac, Patrick got a Lexus, Jamie got a Chevy and Paula, and we're all trying to get to the same destination, and the routes and the vehicles that we take are going to be different, but essentially we're all getting to the same place. So spiritual development, because you have to think about it, different cultures, different things. If I grew up in India, somebody who grew up in Europe, like, we may be on similar spiritual paths, but we get there going to be differences by what we learn, you know. So, but I do get what you're saying, the everyday lay person, may, the stuff he's saying gonna go over a lot of people's head, and the stuff he's saying gonna piss a lot of people off, because, you know, it's not what they're used to, but that ain't his problem, because, you know, people are going to take the information how they take it. But I do think more so on us to be able to help translate that information to the lay person, because we get it, we completely get it, but we can also communicate with the lay person on their level as well. So, you know,
Jamie,
what's happening?
What you think?
I told him, man, a lot of people gonna hear this and they're not gonna grasp, like Pat said, they might not grasp the concepts, but to me, that's when you take that initiative upon yourself to go study it, go look it up. That way you can come into this information as your own versus just hearing it and saying, okay, yeah, or nah, that don't sound right, so I'm gonna ignore out. I think we gotta put more value on just sitting down, researching the information, and accepting facts for what they are. So hopefully when people hear it, you just don't, you know, zone out, but, you know, get you a pen and pad, write this stuff down and question it. That, and I think a lot, we got to get back to questioning everything we hear, everything we see. That way we go out and get the information for ourselves. So I agree with you guys, but it was a lot of information and a lot of great information. But go out there and research that stuff. I know I am. I'm going to look it up, and that's what we should be doing.
But I will say this. What Save feels me. Right for you? You know, because you have to go with what feels right for you, because that when that light switch come on, when it's time for you to awaken spiritually, when it's time for you to be drawn to certain stuff, you're gonna know. You're gonna feel it. You're gonna be more attracted to it. You're gonna be more interested in it. You're gonna have those questions, because it's gonna be inside of, like you said. You know, it's all, everything we're looking for is already within us. It just on us to be able to remember who we are. So when it's time for people to wake up, because maybe somebody, you can have several types of people, but I just put two categories. Somebody listen to this interview and be like, oh, he crazy. And somebody listen to this interview and be like, okay. And they may not act on or even second guess or think about anything else he said right now, but the light switch is on, so eventually they're going to have, stuff is going to start happening and manifesting within them, and that's going to make those people go out and search it for themselves. So, you know, we ain't trying to make nobody do nothing. All we're doing is giving you the information, and we're seeking out the best information we can for our people, because we've studied it ourselves. But, you know, Dr. Chandler came and dropped some deep information. And Pat, you missed, you weren't on yet, but he, and one of the reasons why I still want to have him back, because he worked closely with Dr. Van Sertima, Dr. Renoko Rashidi, and a couple of other historians that he named, being able to work closely with these gentlemen over 10 years. And, you know, these things open up the historical doors for us.
Yeah, he's got a book with Dr. Van Sertima.
Yeah. Right. And then he was saying the his book Ancient Future was going to be a piece of a book that he was writing with Van Sertima, but the good doc told him, hey man, that's a lot of information that you got, make it your own book. So, you know, we definitely had a chance to sit and talk to somebody who is a master himself and has always also sat at the feet of the masters as well. So, hey man, it feel good. We're moving along on this freedom train, so, you know, y'all stick with us.
Chugga chugga choo choo whoop whoop.
Hey man, y'all know how we do, man. Until next time, two fingers in the air, waving like you just don't care. We out of here.